This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is What Happens If with Daniel and Jan on Joy.
Just you, me, what happens if, Tuesday evening, what's the episode about? It's about what happens if I diet. What happens if I diet? Oh gosh, that was far and away the worst intro I've ever done. The worst. Just the worst. But there's only 2 weeks to go, so if I'm getting worse, then I only have so much worse that I can get in 2 weeks, is how I look at it. Today I'm speaking with Amy Peng from Just Eat Nutrition. She's also a nutritionist at Brighton Sports and Spinal, a clinic in Brighton here in Melbourne. And she's coming on to talk all things diet. But more broadly, as is always the case with What Happens If, it's food, it's nutrition, it's psychology, it's environment. There are a lot of things that work on us in the context of what we eat every day. I can easily imagine myself going to a restaurant with a certain expectation of what I would like to eat to keep my body a certain way, and then changing that based on the people around me, based on the mood, based on what is on the menu and how they word it. Have you ever read something on the menu and you go, I wasn't planning on eating a fried chicken burger? But when you tell me it's got a brioche bun, when you're specific about the bun, I'm more likely to eat the brioche burger with fried chicken on it. If it's a tasty Asian slaw rather than just coleslaw, yeah, maybe I will. And maybe if it's got apple in that slaw, maybe if it's a tasty Asian apple slaw, Yeah, I am. I'm more likely to get the fried chicken burger. Thank you for having me. Thank you for coming. And now I've eaten the thing that I wasn't planning on eating half an hour ago. So I think that, like a lot of the everyday, it's where you are, it's who you are, it's who you know, and it's what's sold to you. And there's a lot to sort through here. Look, there's no use just sitting around because I'm hungry and I want to get this done. So we're just going to move on. Coming up after this is Amy Peng, nutritionist, and we're going to get into the weeds, get into the tasty, tasty lemon, what's that stuff called? It's on the tip of my hungry tongue. It's called... I can't remember. You know, the green stuff they used to chop up, and it's not really popular anymore. Up next on What Happens If, it's Amy Peng. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to What Happens If. This week it is What Happens If I Diet. Now, as always, I'm intentionally keeping it pretty broad there because there's a lot of factors that go into this topic. This is the everyday. This is critical to the human experience. And so today I've got with me Amy Peng. Now, Amy, am I getting this right? You have a business called Just Eat Nutrition.
That's right.
And you also work within clinics across Melbourne, is that true?
Yes, that's exactly right. So my name's Amy Payne. I am a dietitian based in Melbourne.
Yep.
So I work predominantly in the private practice, aged care and hospital settings. I really enjoy the variety of work I do, ranging from pediatrics to nutrition in elderly people.
Great. That's it. And now I'm already going to go off script here. What have you made of now? I have a grandmother who's in aged care, okay. And there's been a lot written about nutrition for the elderly. And I recall there was one comment that certainly made me question its validity, where someone said that nutrition matters less as you get older. That can't be right.
No, that's not true at all. Actually, when we are getting older, because the hormone changes, we actually require different nutritional profile. For example, you know, you require more protein, require more vitamin Bs, for example, iron, calcium, vitamin D, all these important nutrients.
Right.
That we're trying to, you know, make sure that you're getting enough from your balanced and healthy diet.
So is it fair to say that at any given age, So in any given demographic, the needs change in terms of nutrition?
Absolutely right. So for example, you know, as a woman, you know, we lose blood through menstruation. That means we have a higher needs for iron. And, you know, for growing teenagers, we require more protein, more calcium because our bones are still developing. And for elderly population, as I just mentioned, they require more protein. So for example, when we're talking about a BMI, someone who is overweight in the elderly population is probably not considered as a serious thing because we're trying to make sure they're getting enough energy and protein, not necessarily worrying about losing weight. And, you know, unfortunately, when those people, you know, elderly population, when they lose weight, they lose muscle mass as well, which is not a good thing. And they increase the risk factors for, you know, falls and osteoporosis, things like that.
So muscle loss in weight loss may be a variable that's specific to older people, but not younger people, as an example.
Yeah, as an example, that's right. And, you know, when we're talking about weight loss, you know, unfortunately for most of us, we are only focusing on a number on the scale and we're not looking at other body composition changes. You know, when you're losing weight, especially initial weight loss, you lose predominantly muscle mass and water mass. So all those fat diets that, you know, people talk about these days, you know, whenever you look around somewhere else, it's on the latest fad.
Yeah.
And they don't realize the initial weight loss is predominantly muscle and water loss. So they're thinking they're doing the right thing, but all those fat diets are not sustainable in the long term.
And it's almost seems to me to be that the fad diet is in and of itself something that can't be sustained because it's a fad. It's almost like the fad diets in the sense that they are sold to customers. It almost tells you that perhaps that's something worth avoiding.
Well, certainly, you have to be able to identify whether a diet is a fad or not. So, you know, a few tips to give to the audience. For example, when you're looking at a diet, ask yourself the questions, does the diet promise a quick fix? Does the diet only focus on short-term results? Does the diet require you to buy specific miracle pills, supplements, powders, you name it? Does the diet contradict advice from your health professionals? If your answer to two or more of these questions is a yes, then it's probably a fad.
Yeah, right. So when we're talking about a quick fix, what's quick in the terminology of dieting or nutrition?
For example, losing 10 kilos in 4 weeks, you know, be bikini ready for the summer, that kind of, you know,
so
claims.
catchphrases that you could easily Google and find a lot of results.
As dietitian, we can, you know, easily spot the problems with fat diets, but for most people who want to lose weight quick, the promise of quick results on these fat diets can be extremely appealing. You know, they don't necessarily, you know, give you the long-term results, but they just promise a short-term quick fix.
Yeah. So now in your analysis of fad diets, are there ways of finding diets that are not, not going to be beneficial for people. I mean, it, like, you know, you hear about someone who has a headache and so they go onto WebMD and try and figure out what's wrong with them. It feels like people do a similar thing with diets. I need to go on a diet. Where can I find it? I'll just
go on Google.
Go to Google. So yeah. is there a better way of investigating this for people?
Yeah. So, you know, expecting people not to experiment with different types of eating styles is just not realistic. You know, fat diets have been around for many years. Look, they're likely to be around forever. Let's be honest. So, you know, being able to identify, you know, what kind of diets are good for you are going to give you the long-term results is very important. So, you know, it doesn't really matter what you want to do to look after your health and well-being. I strongly believe that healthy eating should not be, you know, it should be realistic and sustainable, should not be, you know, following your rigid rules. So I think, you know, you just need to find something that works for you and works for you for the long term. So everyone's different. There's no one size fits all approach. You know, if we are all eating the same food, the world will be really boring. So I think, you know, it is important to ask yourself what you want to achieve, what your goals are. As a dietitian, I listen to my patients. We, you know, sit down and, you know, come up with goals together, and we provide non-judgmental advice. If you want to go on, you know, ketogenic diet, if you want to go on a paleo diet, that's fine. But I just want to make sure that you're meeting your nutrition requirements while you know, following a particular eating style.
So it sounds to me like it might be entirely possible that the diet that you want to have may not be the diet that is actually best for you in the way that you understand it. So I could want to be, let's just say, vegetarian. You know, this is a quite a common thing now. There's vegetarian options everywhere. I may want to be vegetarian, but it may actually not be what's right for me medically.
Yeah. So again, you know, when my advice would be, you know, before you go on a very strict eating plan or diet, ask yourself, you know, the question, like, is it going to be sustainable? Am I going to be putting myself at nutritional risk factors of developing minerals and vitamins deficiencies?
Yep.
I think a good way to check that you are doing the right thing is perhaps just, you know, assess how you feel day by day. You know, if you have a reduced energy level, if you are suddenly, you know, feeling very fatigued, if you're constipated, if you suddenly have nausea, you know, diarrhea, all these gut issues, then, you know, you're probably not on a diet that's suitable for you.
Yeah. I wondered about, you mentioned before that, you know, we were speaking briefly about the older people, about demographics. I wondered what, and I remember I read there was a story about dieting in teenage girls and the psychology around dieting and body image awareness for teenage girls. I wonder, I guess I'm wondering, apart from age, how do you think about, or what do we know about other demographic variables, like either, you know, you mentioned menstruation, so male, female, or living in the city, living in the country, or things like this. How do these factors play into dieting as well?
Yeah, I think at the moment we actually are able to provide specific dietary advice based on your personal genetic makeup.
Wow.
So that's what we call nutrigenetics. So this is a very new and developing area. So, you know, our genetic makeup determines how we digest certain nutrients, how we absorb certain nutrients, and how we deal with toxins. So it's definitely a very exciting area. However, my advice will be, if you want to go down the path of doing the genetic testing and find out, you know, whether you need to follow a particular eating style to fight diseases, to prevent obesity, go see a specialist, you know, a genetic specialist, for example. So, because it's very important to interpret the results properly.
Right.
And, there's, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot more hype than facts out there at the moment.
Yeah, right. It always seems like, it seems like, not just on the topic of dieting or nutrition, but it seems like whatever topic we tackle on this show, that there's far more unreal facts out there than there are. It seems like there's a lot of work to be done by the common person to cut through the unhelpful.
Yeah, and content. That's why I guess, you know, what the health professional here for, you know, we're here to provide you with evidence-based practical skills and practical tips, you know, something that's working for you. So that's why, you know, I see so many individuals in my practice, they all come in with different goals. Mm. And, you know, sometimes they're really educated themselves, you know, they seem to know what they're doing, but there's always sort of, you know, gaps we need to fill in.
Yeah, right. Mm. Now, you used the word goal there, and earlier we spoke a bit about, you mentioned a lot of people just look at the number on the scale. So in terms of goal setting, or in terms of, you know, you also use the phrase setting an eating plan.
Mm.
So how important is it to set the right goal rather than setting, I guess, the common goal of, I just want to see less weight on me or something, or I want, you know, a certain look. So how important is it to set the right goal?
So there's a movement currently called body positivity. So, you know, that's talking about, you know, how you feel within your body. You know, unfortunately, this day and age, most people have a very sick relationship with their food and body.
Yeah, right.
They are constantly obsessed with, you know, what I should be eating every day, how much I should be eating every day. Mm. And sometimes we just forget about the basics, you know. When you look at, I guess, you know, the blue zones in the world, you know, these are the areas that identified by experts that they have the longest and healthiest lives comparing to the rest of the world, you know.
Mm.
And one of the key common eating elements of these blue zones people is that they're eating a plant-based diet, you know, which is very similar to Mediterranean style diet. We know that, you know, only 7% of Australians are eating adequate amount of vegetables every day. And that's really shocking result. And, you know, I think the stats is what, like 1 in 11 people worldwide are developing diabetes. So we're really having these, you know, chronic disease issues that we need to tackle. And as I said, people just, you know, making things so complicated. They follow a different diet. You know, one day they're saying potatoes are bad. The next day they're saying we should all be vegan. So I think when it comes to basics, you know, we really need to remember that, you know, eating a plant-based food diet, eating whole foods, a lot more vegetables and fruit, and try to eat vegetable every meal if you can, you know, fresh, frozen, canned, they're all okay.
Mm-hmm.
And try to eat, you know, fish twice a week, swap, you know, red meat for legumes a couple times a week, and be mindful of portions. You know, if you're eating a healthy, balanced diet most of the time, occasional meal out or dessert is not going to do you much harm.
Mm.
And, you know, to be honest, and, you know, those treat foods probably going to maintain a certain amount of sanity.
Yeah, great. Okay, Amy, we're going to take a break really quickly, and we're going to come back after this with Amy Peng talking diet and nutrition. This is What Happens If on Joy 94.9.
Joy!
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on What Happens If on Joy 94.9. This week, it is What Happens If I Diet, and I'm speaking with Amy Peng. So, Amy, before we went to the break, you were speaking about blue zones.
Yes.
Where human beings are just, they have a better diet and they live longer, and it's just everything's going well. So I have to ask, on behalf of everyone, where are the blue zones?
So there are five areas, they are Greece, Japan, Italy, Costa Rica, and a small community in California.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, the one that piqued my interest, because I spent a little bit of time there, was Japan.
Okay, beautiful.
Now, what is it about the Japanese diet specifically that is doing well for them?
Well, firstly, they have a lot more plant-based protein, such as tofu, tempeh. You know, they drink green tea every day. And one of the things I know, the school-age children, they are providing the Yakult. You know, the little probiotic drink.
They provide it in the sense that they give it to them.
Yeah, give it to the students or the pupils as part of their school curriculum.
Right.
And it's amazing because...
Get that you, in you. Have, enjoy that.
Yes.
That's good.
You know, it's nice. It's nice to drink. I still remember drinking those when I was little.
Yeah.
And it's good for your gut health.
Yeah.
And yeah, so going back to the Blue Zone. So, you know, one of the things, as I mentioned earlier, that they eat a lot more plant-based foods, which is very similar to the Mediterranean diet. So when we're talking about Mediterranean diet, it is basically based in eating patterns traditionally in Italy, Greece, Spain, and Morocco.
Yep.
So they have a lot more fruits, vegetables, nuts and seeds, oily fish, moderate consumption of alcohol. You know, the word moderate can be very different.
That's the key word, moderate. Yeah.
Yes. And eating fermented dairy products like yogurt. And also they have a lot more legumes, compared to red meat, processed meat, which is unfortunately typical intake of Australian adults.
Mm. So when you speak about eating patterns, is there something there? I feel like I'm thinking of a typical Italian meal, and in a traditional Italian meal, you get little bits of something.
Yeah.
In more portions, but smaller portions across
more
a long
variety.
Period of time. More variety.
Smaller portion. Yes. The variety is the key word, you know.
Mm.
When we're looking at previously, when we're talking about fat diets, you know, most of them ask you to cut out a particular food groups, a particular food group, which is not going to give you that variety. You know, when we're talking about eating vegetables, we encourage people to eat different colors, the rainbow colors, you know, your broccoli or cauliflower.
So what about, I'm curious about, okay, so if I have the goal of losing weight.
Yes.
Okay. I'm that guy. I've come in, I've gone, Amy, I want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, I could just eat less. Is that a thing?
Well, definitely what weight loss at the end of the day is largely about tipping the balance of energy in and energy out.
Yep.
You know, exercise is very important. We say 80% nutrition, 20% exercise. The more exercise you do, the better. You know, but when people, but people often wonder why they're not losing weight when they are on a strict diet and exercise routine. I think sometimes, you know, they're not getting the energy in right. They're still thinking, they're still having a similar amount of energy as they used to have. For example, you know, people often make the mistakes of swapping junk food for muesli bars or bliss balls.
Right.
You know, however, they're still very high in hidden sugar, salt and fat, you know. Even though muesli bar, for example, can contain healthy ingredients such as oats, nuts and seeds, but they still need some form of sugar to bind those ingredients together. So if you're talking about a protein or fruit-based bar, you're talking about, you know, 4.6 teaspoons of sugar. So we're still not getting the energy deficit. So that's why people are still not losing the weight. Another thing I notice, or I observe in my practice, is that people doing great Monday to Friday, they're following a very healthy eating plan. You know, they do meal prep, but then when the weekend comes, you know, everything goes out the window. They start drinking more. They're starting eating, you know, less regularly. That's another thing. You know, eating irregularly can lead to poor food choices.
Okay.
So by Sunday night, Monday morning, you're back to square one pretty much.
So if I suddenly on the weekend after my great week of work and I'm just doing fabulously well and then I have a really big meal, okay, with a bit of alcohol, all right, I stuff my face. And then on the next day I go, okay, well, I just won't eat for the day to balance it out. Is there's some flaw in that logic, the fact that I'm becoming irregular.
Because when you become irregular, you also affects your metabolism. You know, when your metabolism is slowing down, you basically, you know, losing the ability to lose weight. Or, you know, for example, you know, there's a research evidence suggests that, you know, people who repeatedly yo-yo dieting or fat dieting ultimately lose the ability to lose weight because the metabolism just stuffed.
So you need to keep that energy in, energy out, ticking over. In a regular, healthy way, regardless of whatever diet plan you've discovered is best for you.
Mm, yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Now, what about, we've spoken a bit about the demographics and I guess about the broader context of where people live. So you spoke about the blue zones. So if I grew up in Japan, I get Yakult when I go to school and I have a certain kind of diet that I'm taught. And you've spoken a bit about diegetics.
Nutrigenetics.
Yeah, yeah. I got that wrong. So how much of how I eat now, I'm 30 years old, how much of that is just learned and it's tougher and tougher to get away from it?
You know, we're talking about the nutrition in early days, you know, what's going into the mother's mouth determines the health of the child in the future. You know, if you develop gestational diabetes when you're pregnant, and your child is more likely to develop type 2 diabetes down the track. Mm. So there's a lot of research done in the area. And another very interesting area is, you know, your gut health. You know, for example, you know, the people in Japan, they grew up drinking Yakult every day, so they probably have a better gut health than the rest of the population. So there's so many variable factors coming into play when it comes to health and well-being. And I think, you know, you mentioned about different ages require different nutritional requirements, and that's absolutely true. You know, I see people, you know, from the day they were born till, you know, like when they were when they're 90 years old, they definitely require different nutritional intake, and the nutritional output is also very different. You know, you can't eat the same way that your neighbor is eating. You know, your neighbor might be playing sports 5 times a week.
Yeah. Now, you do a lot of work in this space. You see a lot of people every day, and you work in all different contexts. Is there some words of wisdom you want to impart on the audience to finish us off?
Yeah, look, you know, there's so many diets out there, intermittent fasting, you know, bariatric surgery and body image positivity. You know, what's the ultimate thing that will work for you? You know, my advice will be, you know, practice mindful eating. You know, that's one of the things I talk a lot with my patients. You know, it can really help you promote a healthy relationship with your food and your body. You know, we're becoming very busy every day. You know, the way we eat, you know, how much we eat and why we eat, what we eat, differ every day. But ultimately, I think the most important thing is to eat for the right reasons. You know, a lot of times we just lose, you know, the basics, and we eat because food is there. We eat because someone else, you know, offers me a piece of cake. So how to practice mindful eating? You know, one of the bigger things is to take a break between during eating, you know, really enjoy the food, enjoy the smell, you know, savor the food. And I often ask my patients, you know, every mouthful chew 10 times before you swallow.
Yeah,
you know, you're giving your body an opportunity to send a signal to your brain to say that, okay, I'm actually almost full. You know, I don't need a second plate. So all these little things actually make a huge difference. And final thoughts, I think, you know, when I'm asked, you know, what kind of foods I should be eating, you know, eat more fruits and vegetables, you know, eat more legumes, and, you know, use extra virgin olive oil in your cooking. You can actually cook with olive oil. That's another myth that people often, talk about. Yeah. And enjoy everything in moderation, you know, alcohol, for example, you know, enjoy with meals and with friends. And, you know, be mindful of stress, you know, eat well, sleep well, and, you know, look after yourself mentally and physically.
Yeah. You know, part of, I guess, what I have been getting at when I have this feeling that context plays such a big part with these things, you know, and I think when you were just saying be mindful eating, I think about something as simple as the way different cultures present their food. I find that very interesting. You know, you speak about the way Italians enjoy food as opposed to the way Indians enjoy food as opposed to the way we enjoy food here. And I think about mindful eating, and I think that maybe in this country it feels like we have some work to do with how we eat our food in the literal sense of how is it How does it come on the plate?
Mm.
You know, do we eat together? Do we take time to eat?
Mm.
Is there this culture of high turnover in restaurants, fast food, you know? How is fast food mindful?
Mm.
I find that all very interesting. I wonder whether we have a lot of learning to do in that space.
Definitely, that's a really good point. You know, social isolation, that's another thing, you know, a risk factor for eating poorly.
Mm.
You know,
do people binge together? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing they do it alone.
They're probably thinking, I'm probably going to, you know, being judged by my friend.
Well, that's right. You feel ashamed if you're binging. Yeah. So you wouldn't do it in front of your family, in front of everyone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another thing, you know, I see a lot of moms, you know, they're the hero in our day life. They work, they look after their kids, and you know, they often have emotional eating. Unfortunately, after the kids gone to bed, they just, you know, have a me, you know, sort of me time for themselves, and that's when they get into the chocolate and biscuits, and again they lose the basics, you know, eating for the right reason, because you know they're stressed or emotional, therefore they're choosing the wrong foods.
Now, is there somewhere, just very briefly, where people can go to find your work, a website, a blog, anything that you want to let people know about before we go?
Yeah, okay. So I have got a website called justeatnutrition.com, and we do a lot of work with communities, individuals. I also do a work with the cult community, so culturally and linguistically diverse groups. And also I do a little bit of work with the LGBTI community in Brunswick. So if you want to find more information, go to my website, Just Eat Nutrition. And if you want a broader, I guess, dietary guidelines and, you know, sorting out the fat diet, I would encourage you to go to our association website, which is DAA, so Dietitians Association of Australia.
Oh, fantastic. Amy, it's been fantastic having you. I don't think there's enough time in the world to ask all the questions that anyone would want to ask.
It's been a great pleasure.
It's one of those things where it's, like I said, it's this everyday thing that we get so used to. And I think that you're right. I think people need to be more mindful and stop and think about it and do something about it if it's necessary. Thank you so much again. And see you next time.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Okay. Bye. Welcome back to What Happens If. My name's Jan De Pietro. We've been talking about what happens if I diet. It's the second last show of the grid, as they call it, and I thought that it'd be worthwhile to touch base again with an old friend. Hi, Dan.
An old fat friend, apparently.
Oh.
why have you chosen me for What Happens If I Diet?
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good point. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, I love it. Thanks for continuing on, for holding the flag high, the beacon high, the baton, if you may, if I may.
You may and you will and you have. Gee, I've got
great
these mics up.
Here.
I don't know what's going on in here. I've got these mics up terribly high. The people at home are going to be like, oh, put the mics on a diet.
Oh, the people at home. Don't get me started on them.
Yeah, well, they've been with us all the way through, or they haven't.
They have. Oh, they haven't. Hey, nice to hear. Nice to be on the show, WHI, What Happens If.
That's what we call it. We've been acronymizing that for years. So you were in Japan.
I was in Japan.
Now, did you get the ramen? We're talking about food, sort of. So did you get the ramen?
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know if I got the ramen that you sent me to, but I did find a really amazing ramen place in it's the area Golden Guy.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, and that was stunning. And we just sort of stumbled across it. And it was up these tiny stairs and you can only fit about 8 people in the restaurant.
Brilliant.
And it was just heavenly.
Oh.
My whole time in Tokyo was just an absolute dream. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. I loved it.
Yeah. Did you have days off, or was it just sort of like, oh, I'll go and explore for a little while during the day, and then, I mean, obviously you were on tour and working, so how did that work out for you?
Yeah, no, it was good. Last time I spoke to you, I was in India.
That's right, you're in Bangalore.
Traveling from Bangalore, and this, so we went from Mumbai to Tokyo, But that was a whole day's travel because we flew to Delhi, then we had a layover in Delhi, then we flew from Delhi to Tokyo, and then we had about 2 days or 3 days off. So like completely off. So it was great. So we had heaps of time to explore, which was just absolutely, you could not have had two more different places from India to Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah, really. <It's> like, here we go into the past and now the future.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. But cool, it was awesome.
And you know what, and that's one thing I haven't thought about yet, which I'm going to say now, is so many things that we eat, or like, you know, when you're in transit, you just eat whatever you can. That's frustrating, isn't it? I always hate that on a layover, and I go, well, there's such limited choice here. I just have to eat this thing out of a packet and hope for the best.
I know. And you just, it's amazing how it affects your mood, because, I mean, I like to think that I'm quite adventurous with food, but I reckon I probably eat the same thing almost every 2 days. I have like the same foods on rotation without even realizing it. So then when you're thrust into somewhere different, like India, or even, you know, if you're stuck in an airport in Japan, like everything is different.
Yeah.
And it takes a while for your brain to come around that and accept that. Things look different. They smell different. And, you know, I mean, I was happy to lose the weight, let me tell you. So it didn't really matter.
It's hard to find a hash brown and a side of bacon in Tokyo. You know what I mean? Like, it is different.
And I didn't really, like, we had quite a cute little Japanese buffet breakfast at our hotel, and I quite enjoyed it. On our first day there, we were sitting at this bar, and these two Americans came in. They're like, hey, we can't find a decent breakfast around here. And it was like,
they always sound worse when they're elsewhere.
It's not really bothering me. But yeah, for them, they were really upset they couldn't get their bacon, you know, sausage and fried egg.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, you know, I think I feel like I'm the same. Like, I think that I'm adventurous, but you're probably right. I'm not sure that I am, because I remember when I was there and I had my partner and I, we went to this, you know, quite flashy kind of a ryokan, like a Japanese hotel. And part of it was that you could go and you could do a very traditional Japanese breakfast. And I can't do heavy fish smell at 9 a.m.
I know. I embrace it, but I had been in India for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So then by the time I got to Japanese breakfast, where everything was sort of segregated and clean and light, I kind of embraced it.
Yeah.
You know, I had my seaweed salad.
Yeah.
Like it was all, but you just, after a while, you just, like, you need to eat. So you just gotta get on with it. Otherwise you'll never eat. If you're too stubborn.
Yeah. No, you're right there.
Yeah. You know, I remember once we went on when I was at the Australian Ballet School, we used to go on these regional tours.
Yeah.
And I found out there was a Japanese boy who was on tour with us who his English wasn't great. So he didn't like going to the different regional, like, pubs or restaurants to order food.
Yeah.
And because you stay in motels normally, you can't cook. He ate McDonald's for like the whole trip.
Oh.
So there's that extreme too, that we're like, if you come to Australia, we've got all these options, but it's not what you specifically have each time.
Yeah.
And there's also the question of when we were in India and we were eating all this Indian food, like, one of the dancers was like, so is this considered, like, takeaway? Like, what is this?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? There's so much, well, I imagine there is. I haven't been to India, but I imagine there's a lot of street vendoring.
Yeah, a lot of street vending. Yeah. But then we had, like I said, we see last night, all our food was being sort of brought to us. We were very lucky. So.
Yeah. Well, you can't be too careful when you
and
can't.
And we didn't have time to, get sick, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. There's a sort of protectionism there, I suppose.
Mm.
Hey, we are talking about dieting. It's funny, like, when I think about dieting, the first thing I think about is what it was like growing up being a dancer, and that whole world of the anxiety around food.
I know.
You know, that was the first thing I thought of was in that world, it's a real thing.
Yeah, there was a lot of anxiety around food, and I'm not sure where that came from. But we didn't realize until later that a lot of it was going on. Hey.
Yeah, and it's like when you talk about the, you know, someone coming to Australia who has a completely different diet to where they're from. I think that's largely about it being, it's about the context. So there are so many factors in our worlds, in our little worlds, that affect what we eat. You know, it's like that thing. If a child sees their parents eating something, you know, if they just have, you know, soft drinks in the house, well, then that just becomes normalized and they go, well, that's a thing that you drink. And I just think it is highly dependent on the kind of environment you're in. And there are just certain industries that lend themselves to the thinking around physical attributes, right? I mean, there's just a certain reality around that, and you can do it in a healthy way or an unhealthy way, but it's a thing, you know, in a lot of industries, it's just not a thing.
No, I've always had the taste for bad food. Not so much.
Yeah, I reckon I have too.
But chips and burgers and potato cake, anything fried, anything savory, I've always just gone to it. And but also juice, like sugary juice, that kind of thing. But because I always dance from, you know, four and I all through high school, nothing ever affected me. Like it would just burn straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely cannot still have that diet.
No, it's changed.
And I need to face that within my, like, that it's that opportunity to burn things all day has gone.
Yeah.
And I've noticed it in the last year.
Yeah. And I was recently watching that, the program they did on, I think it was ABC 2 or something like that, and it was about alcohol, and
I know.
Was just like, oh, okay, and that's the one I've noticed. If I drink beer, then I put on a stomach, and then if I don't, it goes away.
Oh, I know.
It's so obvious.
I swear to God, if I have a night out drinking beer, I'm about 3 kilos heavier for the week.
Yeah, for a whole week. And it's the recovery of working it off again that's changed. Like you say, you could just go back to class, go back and to work, and you just go, oh, and now I'm back to normal again. Yay.
But we have made such advances as the human race. Why have we not figured, like...
I know.
Why have we not figured out just something, a pill or 20 minutes of exercise that really proved, like, to lose the weight?
Yeah.
Like we've got so many, but I know, I guess it's, we keep trying to think of things that we can beat it, but really we can't beat it. We can only have to stay active, eat well and sleep well. That's the rules.
It has to be.
But it's funny how we keep trying to think of other ways to get around it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to chat to you again. Miss you lots.
Thanks, you too. Thank you. I miss you too. Hey, well done on the show. I can't believe next week's the last week.
I know. I was just about to say that. It's suddenly come around really quick. I had to go away for a little job last week, and so there was a little bit of a rerun on. But that's okay. It's just one. That's calm awesome. Down, everyone.
Relax, guys. God, Jesus, we're geez. Busy, right? We've done pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, the Instagram's awful. That really hasn't.
Oh, the Instagram fell through. And I always knew that it would.
No, yeah. Because I don't like it.
I always knew. But it still looks great. Go and check it out. It's a few weeks behind now, but still.
A few little photos.
It's a beautiful little thing we've put together.
Yeah.
Podcasts are killing it as far as we're concerned. We don't check the stats, but I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Go through the back catalogue, listen to them all.
Yeah, we're hilarious and interesting.
And interesting, and it's just going to be there now forever, so deal with it.
Exactly.
I guess this is probably farewell for you for What Happens If, finally. I've just clawed you back on twice, but I couldn't resist.
It's my pleasure, my friend, and so happy I got to share this time with you.
I know, and me too, and I'll speak to you soon off air.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Joy.
You have been listening to What Happens If on Joy. This has been Jan DiPietro. This has been What Happens If I Diet. And ladies and gentlemen, we are all cooked and done. We are ready to be ingested. So, you know, get into the podcast. Get it on the podcast app, What Happens If. And, yeah, go to at What Happens If Joy if you want. Why not? Give it a little looky look loo. Go through the back catalogue. Okay, bye.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew that if I had my chance, I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while.
Bye, Mr.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.